Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God. And for the next half hour here on the Refresh Radio program on WMIE 91.5 FM, we are going to be talking about things that belong to God. And that is such a such an interesting concept. Most of the time, when I've been around kids, I mean, my first youth pastorate involved some daycare responsibilities. I was kind of like the adult supervisor, the staff representative, if you will. I wasn't doing much with the kids unless one of them was misbehaving, then they'd come get me and all that sort of stuff. But in all the times I've been around kids, I've never had to teach them the word mine. It's something that they just picked up as they went along, and they were very protective of things that were theirs. If somebody got close to something that belonged to another child, that child would put down what they had to go back and reclaim that which is his. And so today we're going to be in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. We've been going through this slowly. We're going to kind of wrap this up in 1 Chronicles 29 today. But we're talking about things not that are ours, but things that are God. And what does that mean to us? So if you do not have a church home, we'd like to invite you out to Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. We would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing, especially during this very unusual season, you know, where you've had storms and viruses and shutdowns and all the craziness that has been going on. You need God. And in fact, when we get done with this lesson, we're going to move on to our next topic, and it is very, very encouraging, but, you know, it involves some reality checks as well for us, and so I want to encourage you to tune in to tomorrow's broadcast as well. Today we're going to start reading in verse number 10, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse number 10. And there it says, "Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, 'Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope. O Lord God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand and is all your own. I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. And for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now with joy, I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the intent of the thoughts of the heart of your people, and fix their heart toward you. And give my son Solomon a loyal heart to keep your commandments and your testimonies and your statutes, to do all these things, and to build the temple for which I have made provision." Then David said to all the assembly, "Now bless the Lord your God." So all the assembly blessed the Lord God of their fathers and bowed their heads and prostrated themselves before the Lord and the king. So we have been talking thus far about the things that belong to God are greatness and power and glory and victory and majesty and everything that is in the heavens and everything that is in the earth, that it's God's kingdom and that God is the head over all. So now when we come to verse number 12 here, we discover another reality. And that is this, that God is not hanging on to those things. He is not, I mean, they belong to him, but he has not got a death grip on them. Instead, he is wanting to bestow those things into the lives of people. So where we read up in verse number 11, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours, we read now in verse number 12 that both riches and honor come from you. So, yes, it belongs to God, but he wants to impart those things to God's people. You know, what can God trust to flow through you? Too many times we get fixated on the things that can flow to us. I want to ask you, what can flow through you? Because it says here, David says, that riches come from God. Okay? Now, I believe that there is something that is more valuable. There's a lot of things more valuable than money. A good name is more valuable than money, the scripture says. Your family is more valuable than money. Your health is more valuable than money. I have an uncle, he's now retired, but he worked for a very prominent corporation, and he was a troubleshooter. And he, I'll never forget one of the conversations that we were having, and he was talking about how he was supposed to go to this place and solve this problem. And so he flew there. And this was back before 9/11. And I said, well, that's just not very far. Why didn't you drive? And he said, because my time and the time that it takes to fix that problem is more valuable than the cost of an airplane ticket. I'll never forget that. Never forget that. So riches come from God, but it's not, like I say, just to come to us. If you look down a little bit, you will see in verse number 14, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. And so you see, it's not that God is holding on to every dollar and cent that he has. He gives it to his people, not only so that their needs can be met, but so that they can also lavishly give. You know, a lavish gift is not just something that costs more money, but something that there is emotion that is attached to. They were willingly and joyfully giving. In fact, if you go down to verse number 16, you see, O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your name. Okay? So they're focused on everything that they've given, and it is a bunch of money. A bunch of money. All of this is from your hand and is all your own. And it says down in verse number 17, and now with joy I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you. So we see that all that is in heaven and earth is God's. It belongs to him, but he places that in the hands. He entrusts it into the hands of people who are going to be faithful stewards of the things that are his. And part of that faithful stewardship is giving to make sure that the kingdom that belongs to God continues to be built, that the needs of the kingdom continue to be financed and met, and that others have the opportunity to be a part of that kingdom. We'll talk about that more on our next program. But it goes on here to verse number, well, let me just say this. In 3 John 2, it says, may you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Spiritual prosperity is of the utmost importance, and I pray that you are thriving in your spiritual relationship with God. But it says not only riches, but honor. Now, if you were to go up into verse number 11, you would see that greatness and power and glory, and part of that aspect of glory is tied up in this word honor here. It's the word kabod. It means glory or weight or honor. And here again, you see that that which belongs to God, he makes available to his covenant people. Okay? So he wants to bestow honor. The Bible says, give honor to those whom honor is due. We are living in a day and time where dishonor is the rule of the day, and that is a sad, sad testimony. And people who dishonor others insist on receiving the honor that they have deemed that they are worthy of. So I remember a scene from a movie, A Few Good Men, where there was a trial, and the lawyer was grilling the colonel, I believe it was, major. I don't remember what his title was. But he was sitting on the witness stand, and he referred to him, and the officer replied, "You will refer to me as my title. I believe that I have earned that." And then a few minutes later, that officer turned to the judge, who he knew, and referred to him by his first name. And the judge replied to him, "You will refer to me as such and such. I know I deserve that honor." And, you know, there are a lot of people who want to be honored, but they don't bestow honor on God. We need to be a culture of honor. The church needs to be a culture of honor. Your home needs to be a culture of honor. The kingdom of God. Listen, it's got to start someplace. Honor has got to start someplace, and it needs to start in the household of God. So I will tell you this, that just because you have a position of honor doesn't mean that you always operate in a manner of honor. There are a lot of people who have an honorable position, but they dishonorably serve. And it's always a rude awakening for people who do that when all of a sudden they find that they no longer even have the position of honor because it's been stripped away from them because of the dishonor that they serve with. Both riches and honor come from you. That's 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse number 12. And you reign over all. Okay? So if you go back up to see all of the things that belong to God, you will see that yours is the kingdom. And here David turns right that around, turns it right around, and he says, all of these come from you, and you reign over everything. So today I want to encourage you that when you pray, you've probably got some areas in your life that are not doing as well as you would like. There's areas of vulnerability, of attack, of failure, and things like that. And so I want to ask you to extend God's kingdom beyond your Sunday morning. I want to ask you to extend God's kingdom beyond listening to this radio program or just attending church service. I want to ask you to extend God's kingdom beyond just the spiritual aspect of your person. I want to ask you to extend God's kingdom to the things that you think about. I want to ask you to extend God's kingdom and ask God to reign in the area of your time, of the area of your finances. But I don't want to stop there. I want to encourage you to ask God to reign in your mortal body. Say, God, there's sickness or disease. There's affliction that I'm dealing with. God, would you reign over that situation? God, you placed me at my job. You divinely appointed me in my neighborhood, and there's some challenges. God, would you reign over my coworkers? Would you reign over my boss? Would you reign over, listen, God's kingdom, of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. What will we allow God to reign over? Because in reality, David, here he's at the end of his life, and he says, you reign over everything. You have dominion over everything. He says, in your hand is power and might. Well, if you go up to verse number 11 in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse number 11, you're going to see, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power. And if you remember when we were going through that, we said that that word power there, it meant force or valor or victory or strength. And so here he says, in your hand is power and might. We serve an omnipotent God. We serve an omnipotent God. That means he is all powerful. I was watching a science program the other night, and I really should give it a different title. It's more theoretical science. The things that they talk about are sometimes it's like, wow, people spend lots and lots of money thinking of this stuff, and instilling fear in them. So we were going to sleep, and a lot of times my wife wants to have the television going just for noise, you know, background noise. And I said, do you want me to leave this on? She said, turn it off. I don't want to listen to all that stuff. And it wasn't vulgar or anything like that. It was just negative. And they were talking about the power that the universe releases at certain times and certain events. Well, I want you to know that if you take the most powerful thing that has ever been detected in the universe, and you multiply it times a million, you will still underestimate the power of God. And he says, it is in your hand, and in your hand it is to make great. You see, when something is in God's hand, he's not just sitting there twiddling it like the ball bearings that I remember seeing in an old movie with Humphrey Bogart in it. And when things would get tough, he'd take those things and he'd just roll them in his fingers. He's not got it in his hand just so his hands have something to do. When he's got it in his hand, it means he's getting ready to do something with it. And so when he has power and might in his hand, he's wanting to give to his people power and might. And then it goes on and it says, and in your hand it is to make great. The very first thing that was mentioned up in verse number 11 is yours, O Lord, is the greatness. And that word means the mighty acts, the dignity, the great things, the majestic things. And God says, or God is reminded by David, it is in your hand to make great. We live in society where a lot of times people who are born into rich families, they just are rich because that was the culture that they were born into. It was the reality that they were born into. We ridicule other parts of the country or parts of the world about having social structures and caste systems and things like that. And once you are in a system, you do not ever emerge from that system. You don't move up or you don't move down. You just stay in that system. It's very fortified. Well, I can tell you that there are social structures like that take place here in America. You know, a lot of people want to use the term privilege now. It's just the culture. There are benefits. I was watching when Kobe Bryant died earlier this year in that horrible helicopter accident with his daughter. And I watched him as he coached his daughter on playing basketball. And I as I watched some of those clips, I remember thinking, what an amazing blessing that she had. She was being coached by one of the greatest players of all time, who, if I remember correctly, was the son of one of the greatest professional basketball player. And so his son took it on to new heights. And I remember watching something specifically where he showed her how to do something that was illegal, that was perfectly permissible, but it's not something that you would have thought of doing. And it was because of her relationship with her dad that she was able to be blessed with that sort of information. So I don't look up on people who were born into different circumstances than I was. I was not born into a preacher's household. I'm a first-generation preacher, sort of, kind of. I had a relative, not a blood relative, but a person who was married to my grandmother, who was an alcoholic, who became a pastor, and then he decided he wasn't going to be a pastor anymore. But you know what I have? I have one of his wedding manuals that he had from the time that he was growing up. And so it took me about 50 years before I realized, my dad is a little more familiar with what it's like to live in a preacher's home than what I thought. And so there are some cultural things. Don't feel bad about that. I want to ask you, instead of fixating your vision on what you weren't born into, focus on what God can make you into. You weren't born into celebrity. God can make you great. You weren't born into wealth. God can make you great. You weren't born with a lot of physical attributes. God can make you great. You don't have a lot of generational heritage that you can tie into for what God has positioned you for. God can make you great, and greatness belongs to Him. It doesn't belong to your DNA. It doesn't belong to your bank account. It doesn't belong to the school that you went to. Greatness is what God takes of Himself and plants in us, and He says, I know this is what you were, but you're not going to be that anymore. We've got to allow God to transform our mindset the same way that the children of Israel. They were slaves. They were made into God's covenant people. They were servants in a strange land. God made them into a people who were able to drive giants from the land. And one more thing here. In your hand is to make great and give strength to all. To every body. This last week, I was preaching a message that by faith Sarah received strength to conceive. I want to ask you, are you willing to receive by faith the strength that Almighty God has that belongs to Him, and He wants to give it to you? Okay? Don't be weak-minded. Be strong-minded. Be strengthened in the power of His might. Don't be weak-willed. Be strong-willed for the things of God. I tell people that I have the gift of stubborn, but instead of being stubborn against the things of God, I want to be stubborn for the things of God. I want to be able to stand, and having done everything, that I'm going to be able to stand because the strength of heaven has placed me and enabled me to prevail under every assault and every attack that the devil wants to launch your way. Today, I want to tell you, we may not have been many, but God is able to deliver by many or by few. Today, you might have come from a place of frailty and weakness, but that's not your destiny. Your destiny is for God to give and to make you strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Let me just tell you how this ends. Verse number 19 of 1 Chronicles 29, David says, God, give my son Solomon a loyal heart to keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes. We need to remember that the Word of God is not our personal opinion of it. It is God's, and we need a loyal heart. If we are not obeying the commandments, if we do not have the testimonies of God working in our life, if we're not living up to His principles, it is indicative of a heart issue, and we need to say, God, would you give me the heart I need to do these things? How does all of this end? Then David said to all the assembly, this is verse number 20, now bless the Lord your God. We are His people. And one of the things that is not recorded in verse number 11, yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty, for all that in heaven and earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. One of the things that's not mentioned there that is mentioned in Revelation is that there's one more thing that does belong to God, and that's blessing. Today, I encourage you, use your mouth to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, your God. What a privilege it is to be part of the family of God. You have a blessed day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
To know you is to never worry for my life, and to know you is to never give in or compromise, and to know you is to wanna tell the world about you, 'cause I can't live without you. My brother when he's falling. To know you is to feel the pain of the broken hearted, 'cause they can't live without you. More than my next breath, more than life or death, all I'm reaching for, I live